1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning from verse 31. And we're simply talking about how to bring glory to God, how to do everything that we do to honor, praise, and bring glory to God, and how that actually looks like. And we looked at the life of Moses to see how that actually looks like. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, we'll read that verse through to verse 29, and then we'll continue where we left off from this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 24, the Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." And we saw in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning from verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. We spoke about what faith was, and it was a definition found in verse 1. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we touched on a few things to see how this seeking God by faith looks like in order for us to do what we do and for his glory. We saw that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then we see that Moses chose, he made a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God than they enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then we saw that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. And so then tonight we're going to look at a few things, and we're going to see by faith how he sought God in these three different ways as we continue tonight. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you and thank you for this night that you've given us. We thank you for your word. We pray that your word may continue to penetrate our hearts. Please, Lord, deliver us from pride. Please, Lord, humble us and continue by your Spirit to work in us, that we may be a people living for your glory in all that we do. Please deliver us from deception, thinking that we've arrived, thinking that we've attained, thinking, Father, that we cannot grow anymore. Please, dear God, help us to learn from your word tonight, to seek you by faith and how that looks like by the life of Moses. Bless us tonight by your word, convict us, challenge us for your glory and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We then look in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning from verse 27. We see by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We see that no doubt Pharaoh tried to get Moses to compromise. And we're going to see those three different compromises which Pharaoh tried to tempt Moses with. And it's found in Exodus chapter 8. If you would quickly turn there, Exodus chapter 8. If you've got a handout, it's, I believe, in your handouts. And we see in Exodus chapter 8, verse 28, "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far in treat for me. So we see the first compromise here saying you can go ahead and serve God, but don't go too far. Stay close by. And we see that by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. He didn't yield to this compromise. He surely did not hearken to the voice of Pharaoh. But I really believe that the devil does the same thing today by trying to get us to a point where he says, just don't go too far in your Christian faith. Just don't go over the top. Do have this little religion. Don't overdo it. Don't be completely separated from the world. Don't be completely separated from Egypt. Don't go too far. Stay close by. Have a little religion. Have a little Sunday morning, and then Monday you continue living the way you want to live. The devil does the same today. He tempts people with religion. He makes people feel good because they've come to church on a Sunday. He makes them feel good because they've done some religious rituals and different things which they perhaps would do to show that God, their presence, or to show their God that they've actually done something, but during the week they've lived in Egypt. That's the compromise of the devil. And it's very easily done. And it can be to any one of us here today that we can be tempted to simply come to church but yet live a worldly life outside of church. We can come to church, but at the same time we can have a bit of Egypt in our hearts. We have a bit of worldliness in our hearts. We desire the things of this world. The world has not yet simply left our hearts. But I'll tell you something, Moses wasn't half-hearted about this subject. He forsook Egypt. He sought the Lord by faith. He says, I'm not going to be compromising in that area. He departed, if you would. We believe at the same time, Lot's wife became a pillar of salt because she did look back. She was out of Sodom, but her heart was still in Sodom. And what Pharaoh wanted to do is come and serve God, but don't go too far. Stay close to the world. Stay close to Egypt. And I really believe this is one of the biggest temptations which the devil tries to tempt a Christian, is to have one foot in the Lord and one foot in the world. And that's how they want to live. They want to live in the proximity of each other. And a lot of Christians are falling for it. Don't go too far for Christ. Don't go over the top. Just calm down a little. Don't be fanatical about Jesus. By the way, let me say this to you tonight. You and I can never be too much for Christ. Was it too much for him to go to a rugged cross and on that cross, naked, if you would, dressed with his blood? Was that too much? A lot of people say, you're over the top. You're too much. I said, I can't be enough for Christ.
Amen.
And I desire to be more like Christ. There's no way in the world that we've ever and will ever attain and come to a point where we've reached this perfection, but we strive to be mature Christians. And one of the ways that we can please God and live for God's glory and all that we do is stay away from the world.
Amen.
Don't go close to it. Don't play with it. Don't support it. Don't love it. And I guarantee you, you can, by the Spirit of God, find this great balance that you can have a love for people but hate the world system. Too many people want to play around with the world system. They just simply are fascinated by the different things that the world offers. But I guarantee you, when you take a bite of it, it leaves gravel in your mouth. There's some things that I'm really passionate about because there are, in my past life, I've done some things now that I'm ashamed of. And I know how these things can actually tempt someone. And so what people that may have never dabbled in think it's okay, but I tell you, it's not.
It's true.
I've been there. I've done that. It's not okay. I know what it can do. I know how it can affect the person's life And let me say this to you. The devil is okay with you having a little devotion for Jesus. As long as you have a little devotion. Don't be sold out. Don't serve God with all your heart. Just take it easy. And he wants you to live that way. He doesn't want you to be full on for Christ. He doesn't want you to be hot for the Lord. He doesn't want you to be on fire for God. He just wants you to be simply mellow and lukewarm. And we know that that makes God sick. I hate, honestly, I'm letting you know, I'll hate to live a life thinking that I'm hot, but I'm lukewarm. And you say, how do you know? How can you, do you still love the world? Are you still fascinated with the pleasures of this life, the pleasures of Egypt and what Egypt can offer? Are they hard for you to let go, or do you still like its facets, if you would? Do you still like its style and its different ways and its direction? Remember, I gave you that illustration the other night where in time the world has actually shifted. It's moving. Perilous times, the Bible says, has come or is coming, but has come. And so the world is shifting and the culture is shifting and their standards or their immorality is shifting. And so we're a holy people, a peculiar people, and we're here standing right with God and living like we ought to, but yet the world is shifting and we're okay here as long as we're not in Egypt. But what happens in time is the world standard is getting narrow, is lower, lower, lower and lower. And so what happens is the world is gone further away from godliness, and the moral, that little moral that they had, is perhaps lowered now. And so the Christian stands here. Well, they're not where the world is now, but they've drifted. They're not where they're supposed to be. But they think that they're okay, because they're not where the world is. There's still a distance, but they've taken you away from a holy God. That's what Pharaoh wanted to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. As long as you keep your distance, but don't go too far. And so that's one compromise. Another compromise, but look, we see that by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. The second compromise is found in Exodus chapter 10, verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But then he goes on to say, who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our son, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds. We'll all go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. But look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Second compromise here, he says, okay, look, listen, go. Just take the men and go. But leave your little ones here. Leave your children here. Oh, my. I can't stress this enough. How Satan and this world did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Second compromise here, he says, okay, look, listen, go. Just take the men and go. But leave your little ones here. Leave your children here. Oh, my. I can't stress this enough. How Satan and this world desires your children.
That's right.
You know, we get so passionate about, there's no way in the world I'll ever take our children to drive down King's Cross. No way in the world I'll let them see that filth. But yet, sometimes the television is on and King's Cross is in the house.
Preach. Good.
That's what tends to happen sometimes. You know what? If we don't train our kids, love our kids, and stand for truth and not compromise, then the society in this world will train the kids. If you don't be a parent to your children and love them and teach them at home, then the world's going to teach them. The world is going to set the direction for them. They're going to begin to idolize different things. They're going to grip to that that shows them their attention. By the way, let me just say that the attention that you give to the kids is not a half an hour devotion at home and that's it. They want more than that. The Bible says, walk along with them. Take them wherever you go and teach them by the way. It's not just that meeting time together and that's it. And Satan wants your children. And television's not the only way which he actually reaches in to get your children. The greatest danger is the internet. There are moral villages in Lebanon that haven't really been exposed to the different things that have taken place in the world because they were very poor and they couldn't have a television. Now they have the internet. As slow as it is, it's still getting in and it's actually ruined the villages. It's crept in. And what once was a moral village is now a disaster. We need to set standards when the internet, I'm not totally against the internet. You can use the internet for good, but at the same time, that's when he's creeping in. And if you don't set standards regarding your internet, putting it out in the living room and having certain protections on your laptop or whatever it is and guiding them from different things, I guarantee you they're only a click away, my friend, a click away from looking at something they ought not to look at. So they're kids. So you set the direction for them. And you tell them. You tell them why you ought not to do some of the things. And you show them what the Bible says about some of the things that we ought not to look at. There's actually Bible verses for things like that. We don't look at these things because God says we ought not to set any our eyes to any wicked thing. You know, Egypt or Pharaoh or Satan wants to train your kids. Go worship. Well, at the end of the day, Pharaoh knew at the same time they're not going to leave their kids in Egypt for quite some time, even if they did yield to this compromise. There's no way in the world. They'll actually take, they'll go on their journey, they'll come back for them. Moses wouldn't have any of it. We spend a lot of money wanting our kids to have the best education. Some people or some parents would say because of their upbringing, I don't want to see that my kids go through what I went through and the poverty that we basically had to endure. That's all well and good, but friend, the most investment that you can invest in your child's life is a biblical investment. Amen. You can send them to the best school. You can spend money on them, but at the end of the day, the world is wanting them. Right. Wanting to use them, there's nothing wrong anyway with growing up with not a lot. It's actually humbling. The best way to be read up is in admonition of the Lord. Biblical guidance for the children. Another way is ungodly movies. Not only internet television, but ungodly movies. Ungodly movies. Things that are against God. We need to be a parent of conviction. So easy to leave a child in front of the TV and let the TV be the babysitter. Let a movie be a babysitter. But in time, that's not going to take your child. So not where God wants them to be. And you only find that the world will be training up your little children.
Right.
Moses would not have to leave. He said in verse 9, he said, and Moses said, we will go with our young ones and with our old. With our sons and with our daughters. There's no way he was actually going to leave Egypt without him. He forsook Egypt, but making sure that he'd take his young and everyone with him. And number three, temptation. Look at there, Exodus chapter 10 and verse 24. We see in Pharaoh called under Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. So he wanted their possessions. He wanted their investment, if you would. He wanted their labor and their life investment to stay in Egypt. And so he knew that these things were not only an offering to the Lord, but if these stayed, you stayed. And the world does that to you. It gets you focused and being career-driven, focused on just making money, serving mammon, and forgetting about worshiping the Lord. Well, that's another temptation. He wants you to spend time making money, spending it, living in Egypt, investing in this world, and not using what God's given you for His glory and for His honor. It's a third compromise. Leave your possessions. Notice with me, please, leave your finger there and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And beginning from verse 1, the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, notice what he says, seek, what is it? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Note this word, set your affection. It's not plural. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of what? The earth. In other words, he's saying this one desire that you have, one desire should be a heavenly desire.
Amen.
This one desire, your affection, your desire, your love should be heavenly. And the things that God has given you and will give you is for the worship and the glory of God. Everything that God gives us is His anyway. But the temptation that came was to stay in Egypt, invest in Egypt, continue in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 26, he goes and says, our cattle also shall go with us. I love how he says this. There shall not a hoof be left behind. They're all coming with us. All the cattle's with us. These are the things that we need to honor God, worship God, serve the Lord. We're not going to keep nothing back from God. That's all His. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, what happened to them when they kept something back? Absolutely. You know me, I haven't really taught and preached on giving. As a matter of fact, I tremble at the thought of that sometimes. I don't like to hang on. I don't like that to be my hobby horse, because you know the world has actually mistreated scriptures in the Bible for giving. That is a principle in the Bible. And giving to the Lord shows the heart gratitude to God. The sacrifices of what God will have us to give to Him were never a means to an end. They were only a beginning of showing our love and bringing glory to God. But that's what the temptation is. To hold back. He says, I'm taking the hoof. I'm not leaving not one hoof. They're coming with us. They're all coming with us. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. Will you be tempted? Absolutely. You say, is temptation a sin? No. When does it become a sin? When you and I yield to that temptation.
Right.
That's when that sin brings forth death. When I yield to it, when I just simply say, well, I'm not going to give to the Lord this week. We're doing it tough. I'm going to hold back a little because I'm doing it tough. Or probably perhaps someone has just simply irritated me today, and just for spite, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to give that. I'm going to hold back. Don't hold back. You will be tempted. Will you be tempted to live one foot in the world and one foot with God? Absolutely. I don't think there's a person in this room that's not tempted by that. And you and I will be just deceiving ourselves if we thought that we had it together and we weren't tempted by the world and the pleasures of sin. Not for a moment. We're tempted. But it's when you yield to that temptation and when you continue to follow after that, I don't think for a second that you and I are not tempted to let our kids go just for a moment and say, just put them before the box. You've become a frustration to me today. I haven't done anything today. You've just ruined my day. It's part of the training. Part of the training. But we're tempted. We're tempted to do all these things. But sin when you yield to that temptation. Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt. He didn't want nothing of it. Not a little hook. Not holding back. He didn't want anything to do with Egypt nor the world. Moses forsook Egypt. Jesus said this, don't even look back. Because if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And he was talking to disciples then. The first disciple that he spoke to was about sacrifice. Son of man had nowhere to lay his head. The second disciple was the fact that he wanted to go bury his father. And he says, let the dead bury the dead. I'm telling you something, don't think twice when coming to follow me. And the third disciple says, don't look back. Don't look back. The temptation to look back, go back. I think Peter said it best when many disciples left Jesus Christ because they couldn't grasp some of the words Jesus said. They ended up departing and followed Jesus no more. I know and I understand that for a believer it's backsliding. It's not losing your salvation. They were probably not true disciples to begin with. But you can backslide as a Christian. You can actually be in this church here today and your heart's not here, but it's in Egypt. There are some things that you're perhaps doing. But what I'm trying to say is this. Peter said, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? There's some things that I've done, and they're not extreme, but I thought, what am I doing? This is not what God has called me to do, and this is not what God wants me to do at this particular time. Begin in Christ, you begin to say, this is not me in Christ, this is the flesh. And so we see that he forsook Egypt by not compromising, and we see also that he continued on. He says, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses continued to trust in the Lord. He didn't give in or give up. And true faith seeks God's promises and plans. And then by faith, Moses kept. Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Moses kept. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn shall touch them. We see that Moses obeyed God's plan of salvation. And his plan of salvation was to deliver them from the 10th plague. The 10th plague was simply to struck and kill the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But God always makes a way of escape when the judgment comes, doesn't he? He did with Noah. And when the floods came, he always makes a way of escape. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, this is the way of escape. He says, in order for you to simply have this salvation and that your firstborn would not die, you need to get a lamb that was without blemish. And the lamb was supposed to be slain, verse 7, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two posts, side posts, on the upper doorposts of the house wherein they shall eat. And so the blood would represent what? The Lord Jesus Christ and the shed Lamb of God on that cross. And he would be the Lamb without blemish. He would be that Lamb, if you would, that would have no sin. And that he would go on that cross and his blood will be shed for us. This is why we're going to remember this tonight. I thought we'll wait after the sermon specifically on this point of keeping the Passover, no doubt. The Lord's Supper is our, if you would, Passover, our memorial time, our memorial day. He observed it as a memorial. He kept it as a memorial. He kept the Passover. And Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. Moses did that. By faith, he kept the memorial, if you would. What was the memorial? That you and I, note it, please don't miss it. You and I have been purchased with the blood of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, for ye are bought with a price.
Right.
Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. This is what we're talking about here today. In order for us to do what we do to the glory of God and glorifying God in our bodies is remembering that you and I have been bought with a price. And friend here tonight, you're not your own.
Amen.
You say you're a Christian here tonight, you're not your own. God owns you.
Amen.
God owns your time. God owns your car. God owns your house. God owns everything about you. God owns your legs. God owns your hands. God owns your eyes. God owns this mouth. God owns everything. God owns your family. God owns your kids. God owns your husband. God owns your wife. God owns your work. Everything that you can think of that you have, God owns. But most of all, he owns your body.
Amen.
Lives in your body. And it's the memorial that keeping the Passover, what God did for us, that he went on that cross and paid the most expensive price that you can ever pay. We weren't purchased by silver or gold, but you and I were purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the memorial here tonight that we're going to remember, that we were bought with a price. In Acts chapter 2, beginning from verse 41 and then verse 42, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. We see that someone that keeps this memorial or keeps this Passover is someone that simply receives the Lord with gladness. And then after he receives the Lord, he continues in the things of the Lord. That's why we say anyone here tonight wants to partake from these elements, this wine that pictures the blood of Christ, and this leavened bread, this grape juice that pictures the blood of Christ, and this unleavened bread that pictures the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, are people that have been redeemed and bought, and that they continued to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those that save and been baptized would continue in fellowship and in breaking in bread. And Moses was someone that kept the Passover by faith. It's very important that you and I that value this time together, this memorial. What's the memorial about? We're bought with a price. We ought to glorify God in our bodies. We're not to ourselves. God owns us. And then we see by faith, Hebrews 11 verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Moses passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians saying to do were drowned. As the children of Israel, we know that not everyone that passed through that dry land passed from death to life. But that's what it pictures. It pictures a new life in Christ. Someone that passes from death to life. We know that there was amongst them a mixed multitude, and many of them were slain by the sword because they went back to worship a golden calf and they didn't want to worship the Lord, and the true heart was exposed and decision was made then. Who are you going to worship? Those that love the Lord, come on this side. Those that don't, stay where you are. And the judgment came on them. So we know that not all that passed through the Red Sea there would have a new life in Christ. And let me say this to you, not many people that make professions have a new life in Christ. But that's what it's supposed to take place in a person's life. When we come to Christ, we have a new life. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, when it came to a standstill here, they came to a standstill where the ocean wasn't yet split in two, and they could not go on the dry land, and Pharaoh was coming, and the people were simply in fear because of the chariots were fired up that come and destroy them. Some of them again were murmuring and had lack of faith, but Moses stood up by faith and simply said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace." What a glorious work of God this was. Can you just, I just really can't understand which one's a greater glorious work. Whether to walk on water or through the water. You know, it is a glorious, I don't know about you, but it would have been a glorious, glorious work of God, magnificent work of God, just to simply part those, the ocean in two like an elevator, you know, just passing through like that. Brings forth new life in Christ, passing from death to life. 2 Corinthians says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature.
Amen.
For all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And then we see that he abolished the enemy, which the Egyptian is saying to do were drowned. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross conquered three things: sin, Satan, and death. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." It's the last enemy. "O death, where is thy sting?" And you think about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has brought us to by faith. He passed over a new life in Christ. Victory has been given. Death can't keep us. The grave can't keep us. We have a new life in Christ. The enemy has been conquered. And I just want to encourage you tonight, let's live like we have the victory.
Amen.
Amen. Let's live like we have the victory. I'm not saying that we're not going to have bad times, we're not going to have bad days or anything like that. But let's make 2013 a time that we can live in victory. And I'm telling you something, this is going to be how you're going to do it. Say how? When you live your life for the glory of God.
Amen.
When you live your life for the glory of God. Not long ago, a couple of days ago, I heard a testimony about a man that was brought up in a Christian home. He went to a Christian school, church. And he testified that he saw many friends go to the altar call. Music was playing and different things were taking place. And he said, along with the music and along with seeing his friend go forward, he said, "Well, what the heck? I'm going to do it too." Went forward and he prayed a prayer, realizing later on in the years that it was never saved. He dabbled with a lot of different things: drugs, nightclubs, girls, and yes, men. He went far deep into sin. He reached to the point of his life that he was so empty, but he knew the truth. But he still loved the pleasures of sin. He came to the point where he was on a balcony one time looking up, crying out, but he knew he wasn't saved. Came to another point of his life where he came to the reality saying to the Lord, because he knew the truth, he knew the gospel, he's been under the word, and he came and he said to the Lord, he said, "Lord, I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn from my ways." And he said he lifted up his head and he knew that he wasn't saved. He said there was one more sin in the back of his mind that he knew that he wouldn't let go of, and he wasn't ready to do it. He still loved boys, young men. And God got him to the point of his life where he came to the Lord and he repented of his sin, no strings attached. And he was willing, note that word, willing to give it all and say, "Lord, I'm done. I am done from this lifestyle. I am done. I am done. I need you to be my Lord and Savior." And he stands and he testifies and he gives a great testimony regarding how the Lord gloriously saved him. And he actually wears a shirt going around saying that the Lord saved me from this lifestyle, and he mentions it specifically what kind of lifestyle that he saved me from. He knew that he wasn't passed from death to life, because when he prayed, he was still holding on to some things. You say, that's a work salvation. No, it's not. Repentance is not a work salvation. Repentance is to have a heart that is changed toward the Lord, knowing that you cannot save yourself, but you're willing to let go of your sin. When I came to the Lord, I struggled. I struggled with different things. As we heard in the testimony today, I know I'm not perfect and I still sin, but I'm not a slave to it.
Right.
I may fall into sin, but sin doesn't control my life. He does.
Amen.
How are you going to live for the glory of God? How are you going to set your ways in 2013 to live for His glory? Seek God by faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please God. By faith, He refused. And He came back to the reality of His origin, that He had a relationship, that He was born to have a relationship with God. He came to that reality that by faith He had come back to His origin of what He was born to be, chosen to be a child of God. And then by faith He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith He was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. He thought it to bear Christ's name would be greater. And He knew about the reward to come. He counted the cost. And we see also by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. He didn't want anything to do with the world. Over it. I'm done. I'm finished with it. And then by faith, he kept the Passover. He was faithful to remember that he was bought with a price and that he's not his own. And all that he does in his body will do it for the glory of God. And by faith, he passed over. New life in Christ. Resurrection. Victorious Christian living. When you live your life in all that you do to the glory of God.